Good morning. I'd like to start out and remind you about our weekly family devotionals. We have these available on the table where the communion trays are, and this is a month's worth, so this is for the month of January. And with these devotionals, of course, they're available on our website as well. If you can't keep up with papers and you're like me and you took it from here, but then it went somewhere and you don't know where, you can always go to our church website, sandspringschurchofchrist.com, and you can find those. But each week, I'd like to, let's see how we're doing on our memory verse for this month. See if we're making progress. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. That's better than last week. We're gaining. This is a good memory verse. It tells us a lot about what we need to focus on and remember, and so it's good for us. Today's lesson is about God and how God likes to give. This past July, a photograph was released of our kind of a glimpse into our universe. God created everything for us. He created the universe for us. And in years past, people could see the universe with the naked eye just looking and seeing stars. I remember when I was young and first came to realize that a star is a sun. I mean, we know what a sun is. That's an amazing, powerful thing. And every just little twinkle in the sky is one of those, most larger than our sun. But there was we live in an amazing time, by the way. Amazing. In order to learn more about what God created. This photograph, you've probably seen a picture like this in the past, maybe taken with the Hubble telescope, but recently we have even better pictures that reach further. This was taken with the James Webb Space Telescope, and so this is essentially brand new glimpse for us into the universe that God created. This, what you're looking at, is said to be the size of if you held out your arm and looked up into the night sky, holding a grain of sand, this is what that picture is zoomed in on. Okay? So how much of course, we're only seeing part of the universe from anywhere on this planet, but this is the size of a grain of sand, and what you're seeing are not stars. Of course, those are galaxies. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, which is said to be puny, small, the Milky Way has over 100,000 million stars. The Milky Way, 100,000 million stars in the Milky Way. And each of those, by the way, there are thousands. You can't see some. They're so faint. Your mind and my mind cannot grasp the size of the universe that God made, and he made it for who? Made it for us. He made it for us. Anyway, that I have to get back on my notes. That thought overwhelms my mind, what God has created for us. Genesis 9:3. This is let's get simple. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. That's what God told Adam. This is Noah actually coming off the ark, Noah and his family. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. God made this earth. There's only one that sustains life in the universe. I'm confident of that. And it's here. And we're on it. And God made it for us. And he said, I give it to you. God is a giver. But we live in a world that we're pulled in different directions. You need this, you need that. We just came out of a Christmas season. You probably noticed something during the Christmas season that you thought, you know, I'd kind of like to have one of those. And you had never even thought of it before until some advertiser put it in front of you and said, look at this guy in this picture. Look at this woman in this picture. Look how happy she is. Why? Because she has this thing. You need one of those. We're pulled in different directions. When I was about 10 years old, I remember on a birthday, you know, mom and dad would say, what do you want? And so I had identified this thing. It was a watch. This is in 1980, give or take. a watch. They had watches in 1980. And but it was also a radio. And it was a regular size watch, but it had a headphone jack on it. You could plug headphones. They had headphones in 1980. You could plug those in. They had to rest on your head. So headphones to plug into a watch that played the radio. And my mind was blown in 1980 over this. I'm 10 years old. I wanted this. I asked for it. I knew I was getting it. I got it. I was so excited. I mean, just think of the possibilities. The radio right here, just with headphones. Had a dial on it. You can change the radio station until I realize it's only AM radio. Do you know what kind of music you can listen to on AM radio? Not much. It's not great. It doesn't sound great. I was so disappointed. Isn't that the story of our life? Just play that same excitement. I want this. I chase this. And now I'm disappointed. There's so many things that pull at us in this world. So 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world." Now, this passage is going to speak about things that are sinful. Or maybe in itself it's not sinful, but the way we desire it would make it sin. But the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, that would include greed, it would include lust, and the pride of life. The pride of life. How prideful it is for scientists to look at that picture of the universe and say, that just happened. There is no creator. It just happened. How prideful. But pride of life, it's not from the Father, but is from the world. In other words, it's temporary. It's selfish. It's desire-driven. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. That's a gift from God, to have the opportunity to abide forever. That's talking about heaven. And that's what God wants to give us. We keep thinking, have you ever thought about this? We think this time in our world's history is very important. This time. Do you realize how many generations have lived on this planet? And somehow we think this moment, this time period, 2023, is so important. And in our world, we're in America, that is super important. Okay, and so we think this time, this part of our world, I mean, this is it. Look at what's going on. And yet, we're just a sliver. We're just a sliver of time. Eternity is important. That's what I want you to remember. Eternity is important. Focus on eternity. Have you heard the phrase, "This too shall pass"? That's so helpful for so many struggles we have. You're sitting there, you have worries in your life, you have concerns. This too shall pass. It helps us with temptations, it helps us with fears, it helps us with struggles. I want us to look just briefly at Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 3 says, "Hear the word of the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them." Years ago, in ancient times, smart people used to look at the stars and think they could tell what's coming, the future, kind of get a read on things. Here we are in our modern time with all our technology and knowledge, and what do we do now? We watch the news. See, the news is going to tell me what's coming. Is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse? What do I need to watch out for? What's the future? We want to know the future. And God tells us, whoever does the will of God abides forever. That's what you need to know. We don't know the future. We don't know what's happening tomorrow in our world. The world's going to kind of keep cycling. The world's going to, nothing's new under the sun. But don't do as the nations do. They worry, they fret, they think they have so much control. And in this, our scripture reading today, what a great passage. Psalm 119:36, "Incline my heart to your testimonies." That's God's word. God, lean my heart to love this more and not to selfish gain, Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. The phrase, in 100 years, is it going to matter? That's a pretty good barometer. It's a pretty good gauge for things we look at, we get excited about, we worry about, or maybe we want and desire. Do you ever look at worthless things? You ever think about worthless things? It's so tempting. Vain things, empty things. And God is trying to see, he's trying to help us see good things because God's trying to give those to us. Give me life in your ways. God's the giver. God's the giver. If we have the wisdom to chase what God is trying to give us, give me life. All right, Psalm 39, starting in verse 4. Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you've made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. This seems to contradict what I said in the beginning. Look, God created the universe. It's so amazing. He made this planet and he gave it to us. We are his prized creation. And this verse almost kind of takes us the opposite way and says, you're nothing. It's not saying we're nothing. It's saying our lifetime is nothing. Our lifetime's short. I remember being young and feeling like my lifetime was so long. Future is so long. I mean, almost eternal on earth. Right? Because time passed slow. You get older, time passes faster. But we don't know when Jesus is coming back. That's a reflection on how short our time here is. It may be shorter than we think. And we don't know when we will pass, when we will die. Young people do die sometimes, tragically. It's tragic from an earthly perspective. But even those who live to a ripe old age, it's still short compared to eternity. I want to share a thought with you. Just don't get too discouraged by this. But in roughly 3 to 4 generations, no one will remember that you ever lived on this earth. You remember your great-grandparents? I can name one of my great-grandparents only because I've heard the name. I have one faint memory of going and visiting her, probably not long before she passed. Great-great-grandparents, that's 4 generations. You know any great-great-grandparents? Mm-mm. We don't even say their names. We don't think of them. In 4 short generations, no one will even remember that you lived on this planet. Our lives are short, so what should we do? Here's a passage on this topic. It says, bodily training is of some value. Now, that's a good January. This is a good January statement, right? Some of you are like me. You're trying to eat better. Trying to do a little thing called exercise. And some are not. Some are just, you're in the shape you want to be right now. Not calling any names. But this is the time of year we've overindulged maybe. Now it's time to get a handle on things. And let's help our physical body. That's okay. That's good. And Scripture says that has some value. But it's the godliness. It's the spiritual body. We need to help our spiritual body. God's trying to give us spiritual blessings. We have a spiritual body, and when it's not healthy, we struggle. And God says, I want to give you. I want to give you a better life. So Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Vain means empty. It's pointless. It's in vain that you rise up early, go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Why? For he gives to his beloved sleep. God is the giver. This passage says the Lord's the one that's building. God watches over. God's the one that's giving sleep. It's just a reminder. Don't say thank goodness something happened good. Say thank God. It's not thank goodness, it's thank God. God's the one giving, and oftentimes he gives, and we don't even think about him. In fact, Scripture says God gives to the ungodly. That's where Scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust. Why does God send blessings of rain on the unjust? Why does he let his sun shine on the unjust? Because God loves them too. He's trying to give to them too. But this passage here, the message is put God at the first of your hopes, the first of your dreams, the first of your projects, the first of your desires, whatever it is. Maybe we do have projects in life. Don't you have some hopes and dreams? Something for the future that you would like to enjoy? It's okay to build. It's okay to watch, and it's okay to work hard. But just understand, when you get that rest, God gave it to you. That's the point. Jeremiah 10:23, another passage on this idea of kind of life and what is it about. It says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. And what he's saying is, God, I don't know enough to make the best choices in life. I'm not that smart, and none of us are. Correct me, O Lord, but in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. There was a day a couple years ago, I'm out. I got a chainsaw, got a new chainsaw, so I'm out doing some firewood cutting. And none other happens to pass by than Alan Ringle, and he comes up to me, and he sees what I'm doing. I'm cutting some firewood. And he asks what might sound like an insulting question, but it wasn't. He says, do you know what you're doing? And then I had this, you know how you have a side of you that's kind of prideful that doesn't want ever to admit that you don't know something or you're not good at something? So I had that little voice, but I had a stronger voice that said, Elliot, you'd be wise to listen. So I said, well, I think I do. I mean, you know, this thing goes around and it's pretty sharp, and you pull this trigger and you put it down on some wood and you had one piece of wood and now you got two. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I think I do, is what I said to him. He said, all right, go ahead. I'm just going to watch. And he wasn't rude at all. Now, Alan and I like to spar sometimes. We like to argue about some things. I love it. Once in a while, I can be right, and I always love those times. So I go ahead and I cut a piece, and I stop, I kill it, I sit it down. He has that look. The look is like, I need to learn some things, is what the look is. And I had that little voice of pride, but I shut him down and I said, tell me. Tell me. Teach me. What am I doing wrong? Educate me. Help me. That's what the author, that's what Jeremiah says here. Correct me, God. Trust me when I say you want God to correct you. Now, why is that? Because God loves you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. We want that. You want God's correction. You don't want Satan lying to you and saying, you're doing great. I mean, you're headed the right way, man. You're living your best life. You're getting it, aren't you? You are so good. You don't want the lies of Satan. You want the truth of God. You want God saying, dear child, let me help you. This is a powerful verse. When I first read this, boy, it doesn't sound good. Correct me, God. Whoo, careful. But that's what, and then you see those words, but not in your anger. Not in your anger. But God's a loving God. We want him to correct us. This verse, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. We can plan. You can plan. I have plans. God's the one in control. And we want God out front of our steps. We want God to bless us. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And that idea there, acknowledge him, that's key. Acknowledge God. You have a good idea? Acknowledge God. Ask God. Run it by the good Lord. Run it through some scripture. acknowledge that God is in control and God is establishing our steps. He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And look at what will happen. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. That's God wanting to bless us. God wants to give to us. We have this verse here from Jesus. This is New Century Version. Don't worry and say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? The people who don't know God keep trying to get these things. And your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven, knows you need them. Are you worrying about your future? If you are concerned about your future, you're not the only one. How's this going to work out? How's that going to work out? What am I going to do when I get here? Are you worried about something, not sure how you're going to make it? Don't even know how we're going to do this. Or what's going to happen if this happens. We all worry about our future, don't we? And Scripture tells us, pray to God. Remember, there's someone that has seen your future. There's someone that has been to your future. And God is in your future when you get there. Put God there. God knows what you need before you even ask Him. There's a passage in James where James, he writes because the church is having problems. They're having, they're conflicted, they're worried, they're struggling, they're stressing. And he says in a very simple statement, James writes him in chapter 4, he says, you don't have because you do not ask. You do not have because you're struggling, you're trying to get some peace or some resolution or some help. You don't have because you're not asking God. And Matthew 7:11 is a reminder, even though you are bad. Now let's stop there for a second. Each of us, if you're of the age of accountability, you know your own sin. And there's not a single one in here that has mastered temptation. No one in here is perfectly holy without Jesus Christ. We know our own guilt. And so that's what this is what Jesus is saying. You're bad, meaning you're a fallen creature. But you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask. Remember, God loves to give. He loves to give. It's not always health and wellness. Scripture doesn't teach that. Jesus didn't teach that. But it's blessings. It's pure. It's peaceful. It's wholesome. It's eternal. God loves to give. And then you read on in this passage in James. It says, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And then verse 5, do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scriptures say he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? God yearns jealousy to have primary place in our lives. God's jealous of what is his. It's us. And God wants us to walk with him. Verse 6, but he gives more grace. Why does he give more grace? Because we struggle. Because we're selfish. And he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you need more grace? You need more grace from God. Unmerited favor. I want God's face to shine on me. I want God's favor. Elliot, do you deserve God's favor? No, I certainly don't. I want more grace. We need to be humble. Be humble. God will give more grace. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Why are you here? Today, right now. Now, some of us, the answer would be, this is kind of in my routine. It's built in. This is what I do. But that's not really why we're here. We gather because we want to be closer to God. We know He's our Creator. We know He's perfect. We know He's loving. We know we're His children. We want to be closer to Him. Scripture says, draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. And we'll close with this verse, Psalm 34:10. The lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. In a nutshell, quit pursuing things that are empty, things that are temporary, things that are going to leave you disappointed. Draw near to God. Put Him at the front of everything you're doing. Let God lead your life. Let God bless you. Let God give to you. He'll give you eternal things. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, following in the footsteps of Jesus, footprints of Jesus. You may be here with something that is on your heart that you came with, that you'd like us to stop and pray for you about. There may be one here this morning that maybe something with this lesson has stirred within you a desire with you and God, and you want our prayers about that. Or maybe someone is here and you've never given your life to Christ. You've never laid down your life in baptism and had God raise you up a new creature. If there's something we can help you with this morning, please come while we stand and sing.
Sweetly, Lord, we ever be holy. Come.